I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Welcome to Minute 110 of Season 6 of Movie for a Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again for her fifth and final episode this season is Dana Nachman, award-winning documentary director. Welcome back to the show, Dana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me once again.
Yeah, I've had a great time the last few days. I hope you have too.
Yes, you know, of course.
I've learned a lot. I always learn stuff from you about different types of shots and things like that. So I love having these type of conversations with you. So that's great.
Awesome, thank you.
Because I know nothing about the technical aspects of filming, especially the way you do.
I'm sure you know more than you think.
I've seen a lot of movies. I know I've seen a lot of more movies than you. Especially Frank Capra ones Jimmy Stewart ones but I've seen a lot more movies than most people.
So, yeah.
I probably have seen, you know what? I've probably seen even more movies than Frank Capra ever did in his life. So there you go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've crossed the 11,000 movie mark.
Wow.
Recently. So actually, that's at the time of recording. You know, I'll probably have like another 100 and something by the time, these episodes air. So that'll be more to add to it.
Wow. How do you keep track of it all?
IMDb.
Oh, so you have a spreadsheet? Do you keep a spreadsheet? And?
Oh, sure. I have spreadsheets on everything.
Oh, yeah.
I have a spreadsheet with every year listed on there from, I think, like 1898, and I know what movies I've seen from each of them and when the last time I saw that movie was, and what I rated it and things like that.
Have you gone on to Letterboxd yet?
I started a little bit on Letterboxd.
Yeah, I started too. I only have one. My daughter.
I don't have time. That's my problem.
I know, me too.
You know, to tag on IMDb, to tag on Letterboxd and whatever. So little by little, I think I did like 1 month, like I think it was maybe back in December. I did that month. I listed everything on Letterboxd, cause I try and watch 100 movies a month. Wow. You know, that's like my goal. So, and then to go through 100 movies and update them on my website and update them on Letterboxd and update them on IMDb, it just takes a little more time to do all that. So, I'd like to put them on Letterboxd also. So, one of these days I'll have time. I don't know.
Or not.
Exactly. So if you're on Letterboxd, I will find a way to friend you on Letterboxd so that you can at least see the dwindling number of movies that I've marked on Letterboxd.
Oh, that's cool. Yes.
Minute 110 begins with Clarence asking a question and ends with George recognizing someone from his past. So yesterday we were talking about the fact that, Clarence and George were having this conversation, and then they were interrupted by the ringing of the cash register bell, which basically told them and us, the significance of a bell ringing.
Yes.
And so this minute opens up with Clarence turning to George and saying, "Why, don't you believe in angels?" And he goes, they believe in them. And it's very strange the way that all plays out. It's just, for him to say, "Don't they believe in angels?" Who do you think he's referring to? Just everyone around him? Is he talking about George's family? Like, who's they? What do you think?
Maybe everybody in the modern world, or everybody in society right now, I guess.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, because we see that Nick is eyeing him. You know, he's ready to just kick these crazy guys out of here.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, I am done with you too.
Yeah. And then and then Clarence says, "Oh, why should they be surprised when they see one?" And then George looks over at Nick, who's watching them, and goes, "Oh, he never grew up. He's." And he goes, "How old are you anyway, Clarence?" And Clarence responds, 293. So I actually did the math. Do you know what year Clarence was born? If he's
No.
293?
1600.
1652.
Okay.
Okay. 1652. Which again is a very strange thing to make Clarence almost 300 years old, but okay. It adds to the fun of the whole thing by the way that they do that. So I decided to look to see if there's anything significant that actually happened in 1652. You know, the year that Clarence was born. So I have found some actually interesting things that happened. There was a solar eclipse on April 8th, 1652, which was known as Black Monday, because I guess back then people didn't really understand why it was so dark, you know, when they were having a solar eclipse. On
Oh
April
yeah, that
6th,
was gonna be so scary.
yeah, probably. You know, on April 6th, the town of Cape Town was founded.
Oh,
After a Dutch sailor named Jan van Riebeck established a resupply camp at the Cape of Good Hope. All right. On May 18th, Rhode Island passed the very first law in North America making slavery illegal. So I find that very interesting that Rhode Island did that so early.
yeah.
You know, all the way back in 1652. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go Rhode Island.
The religion of the Quakers was actually established on June 13th that year by a man named George Fox. And then the other main thing that happened, there was on July 17th, there was a great fire in Glasgow, which destroyed one third of the city.
Wow.
You know, and I looked through the list of people that were born or people that died in that year, and there wasn't really anybody who just like jumped out at me as, you know, more important than Clarence. You know, so Clarence is apparently the most important person who was born in 1652.
Yes. Or not born.
That's right.
Fake person. Well,
Exactly. Well, come on. Wait a second. You're telling me you don't think Clarence is real? Is that what you're saying here?
you never know.
That's right. And what's great is that when Clarence is saying how old he is, he says 293 next May, which actually means that I did the math wrong.
Oh, that's funny. Yep.
Even pay
Oh
attention to the fact that that's actually, you know, th this is all,
I
this is
have to go through the
everything.
whole other year.
That's right. It means he was
Next
born in
year.
1652. 1653, not 1652. Oh wow, that, you know, after doing all of that research, oh wow, that's
That's
I
funny.
didn't even notice the fa that fact. Wow.
Wasted time. Maybe something major happened there and now
No, it's nothing wasted. It's
you're
not
like
wasted. Okay, so in 1653, on February 2nd, New Amsterdam, which is now known as New York City, received a charter from the from and it became it was given municipal rights that year. It on October 20th, there was the Battle of Bordeaux between French and Spanish warships.
Oh, wow.
which was part of the Franco-Spanish War. Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's nothing else that really seems to happen during 1653.
That's funny.
Nobody of interest was born in 1653.
That's funny.
So, or no one that I recognize by looking through their names. I'm assuming that some of these people were important, but not they don't sound the names aren't as famous as one would hope to find here. So, oh well. And Nick at this point just gets really, really upset and says, "That does it. Out, you two pixies. Go through the door or out the window." Which, I mean, again, we're going back to somebody who's being very, very aggressive to two patrons in, where's the customer service of Pottersville?
Not good.
There doesn't seem to be any.
Definitely not that far.
No, not at all. Not at all. Do you know any other names for pixies?
No, I was actually just wondering that, but I bet you
Yes,
do.
well, pixies are legendary creatures that are sometimes called fairies or sprites, things like that. There are many different spellings of the word pixie, but most people use the PIXIE. And it basically comes from British folklore. And they mostly say that in most of these folklore that the pixies would live around Devon or Cromwell, those areas of England. And sometimes you would find them in other places like Dorset or Somerset, things like that. They're believed to inhabit ancient underground sites. And they generally are mischievous, and they're short and childlike, and they're fond of dancing and wrestling outdoors, which is stuff that they usually do at night. And they also are known for having pointed ears.
They sound like elves.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the idea is that pixies fly. I think that's more because they're more like fairies. You
Yeah.
know, that type of thing.
That's fun.
So then George looks at Nick and goes, "Look, Nick, what's wrong? Now that's another thing. Where do you come off calling me Nick? Well, Nick, that's your name. What's that got to do with it? I don't know you from Adam's off ox." So my first question is what's the big deal? Is he supposed to call him like Mr. Nick or Mr. whatever? You know, it's a very strange response for a bartender to get upset that he's being called by his first name.
Well, I think like if a stranger comes up to you and calls you your name, you're like, why do you know my name?
Okay, but well, first of all, maybe the bar is named Nick's. I vaguely recall that that's what it's called. I mean, we'll see later in the week when they're outside. Maybe then we can see the name of the establishment. We don't see it now. You know, we
Right.
haven't seen it up until now because we knew
Yeah.
beforehand that it was Martini's. But what is it now? That I couldn't tell you.
You might be right. You might be next.
But it would be very strange. I would say that if you're in an establishment and someone comes in, like what is he supposed to call him? Bartender? You know, is like what's a more polite thing to say? You know, hey you, Joe, give me, I don't know, give me a beer or whatever it is. I mean, it's to me, it sounds more friendly to actually refer to him by name.
Yeah.
But Nick apparently doesn't feel that way. I mean,
Right.
he's already threatening to throw him out the window, so
Yeah.
I don't think that really makes a difference. And then he uses a phrase that I never paid attention to until I was doing research now. Have you ever heard, "I don't know you from Adam's off ox"?
No, just Adam.
I don't know you from Adam.
Yeah.
Okay. And where do you think what do you think it means? Where do you think it comes from?
Well, I always thought when people said from Adam, it was like Adam and Eve.
Correct. It is from there.
Oh, cool. But I don't know why ox.
Right. It means that the speaker is not familiar with the person, and that the person is a stranger to him. The idea takes the idea of Adam, the first created human, and an off ox. An off ox is a draft animal in a team that is situated on the right, the farthest away from the driver. So the driver places the most experienced draft animal closest to him, hoping that the off ox will simply follow what the lead animal does. So the off ox would not be as well known to the driver, as it would be harder for him to observe the off ox. Okay. And the off ox doesn't have the best footing in the situation and could possibly stumble and things like that. So it's a very, for me, it's just when you hear, I guess, someone saying, "I don't know you from Adam," I think they just cut off the off ox because people just don't know what it is. You know, there are other phrases that are used with "I don't know you from Adam." You know, sometimes they say, "I don't know you from Adam's house cat," and "I don't know somebody from Adam's grandmother."
No, I never heard those.
No, yeah, I don't know either. And apparently, Bill Clinton used that term in the 1990s.
Oh, just Adam or Adam
Yeah,
off?
yeah, yeah. Maybe he said, "I don't know that Monica Lewinsky from Adam." I don't know,
That
or something like that.
would make sense.
It would.
Feel like I hear that phrase sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. So it's just it's a little, it's just very very. I guess back in the 1940s, it was more popular to use the phrase "Adam's off ox." You know, and as they're talking, so we see like a destitute man enter into the bar, and Nick then turns to him and goes, "Hey, you rummy, come here, come here. Didn't I tell you never to come panhandling around here?" And then George seems a little shocked, and then we see that he then takes. Nick then takes a seltzer bottle and squirts the guy in the face with it, and everyone in the bar starts laughing. So first of all, I mean, he calls him a rummy. Do you know what a rummy is?
No, I don't.
It's actually it's someone who drinks too much because of
Rum.
rum. Yeah. So it actually makes a lot of sense that he's, you know, basically this is a guy who is drunk. We don't 100% know who this person is supposed to be, but we can see. I mean, if you're paying attention to the movie, you can tell who it is. But yeah, I don't know. And then I mean, you also have the game of Rummy.
Oh
Do you
yeah.
know where? Do you know where that actually came from?
No, but I play it a lot. No, I don't.
I'm talking about Rummy from a card of deck of cards.
Yeah,
That's
I've
where it
heard that too.
started, right?
I've
So
heard that.
it started in the 1890s in Mexico.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it had a different name at first. It used to be called Conquion,
Oh.
which I don't really know what that means because I don't know Spanish. So I couldn't tell you. So if anyone out there knows Spanish and knows what conquion
I
means,
would think the root of it is conquer, but I don't know.
okay. I don't really know how that it deals with gin rummy, you know. So don't
Well, any game, I guess you're trying to conquer somebody.
know. Right. I mean the term rum is also a British slang word, which means something that's strange or odd. You know, so I guess that sort of makes sense. You know, it fits in with that. I mean, I actually like playing rummy cube, rummy tiles, you know, more than with the cards.
Yeah, me too. I like both.
No, I like playing with cards too, but it's something that I rarely do. It's easier, I guess, to play with the tiles from that perspective. I don't know. And so what it, do you know what it's called the thing that Nick uses to squirt this guy?
I don't remember.
So it's known as a soda siphon, SIPHON. And it's also known as a seltzer bottle, or sometimes just as a siphon. And it's a device for storing and dispensing carbonated beverages, typically carbonated water, while maintaining the internal pressure, thereby preventing it from going flat.
You know what's
And
so funny about this? My computer right now is resting on a box from a SodaStream delivered from Israel.
oh, wow. Okay.
And because I meant to send it to my dad, but I sent it to my house by accident. And so now I'm going to give it to a friend, and it's housed, it's the tripod for my computer right now.
Oh, wow. That's really
Yeah.
cool.
So it's a modern day version.
Yeah, really. I mean, for me, what's really cool about this is that I know, I remember from two of my grandfathers, because I had three grandfathers, I guess you can say, because my mother got remarried, so I had a grandfather from my stepfather also. But I remember two of them used to have these old seltzer bottles. Like one of them used to have tons of them in his house, and I think the other one actually sold them when he was on like in the Lower East Side or something like that. I think he of New York. I think he would, or maybe he was in charge of getting them refilled or something like that. I vaguely recall that there's something that goes back to that. Do you know when the idea of this seltzer bottle or siphon was first thought of or invented?
I have no idea. I would say, do you want me to guess?
Sure.
Maybe like 1914?
1829.
Oh, wow.
You're only off by a century.
Yeah,
But
geez. That's pretty.
the idea is that they patented a way to put a corkscrew inside of a bottle and use it as a valve,
Wow, that's cool.
which allowed for a portion of the contents to be dispensed while maintaining the pressure on the inside of the bottle and preventing what was still inside from going flat.
Oh.
They became very popular in the 20s and 30s of the 1900s
Yeah.
because at that point a lot of people were drinking more carbonated beverages. After World War II, they weren't as popular. Because people found better ways to store their carbonated beverages, I guess you can say. Yeah, so. And so if you're actually paying attention, you can figure out that everyone laughs, and then George basically says, he looks at the man and he goes, "Mr. Gower, Mr. Gower." And that's how this minute ends, with George's shock as to who's that man in the comedy sketch.
Yeah.
I never really understood why it was always considered, funny in comedy to spray someone with soda like this,
Yeah.
or seltzer. So I don't really have an answer for that. It was something that I was curious about.
It seems pretty mean.
Exactly. Because you're also spraying a carbonated beverage on somebody. It's not like you're just
Yeah.
spraying them with water. You're spraying them with something that's filled with bubbles.
Yeah.
So
Weird.
yeah, I don't know. Very weird. Very weird. And that's how this minute ends. So did you have anything you wanted to add about this minute or the movie itself?
No, I don't think so. I love this movie.
Okay, so do I. What a coincidence that we're both here talking about it.
Yeah, no, it's great.
All right. So usually Tuesday, but since today is Sunday, we're still going to do it. So every week, or my guest, we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Uplifting Experience Edition, where my guests will give some sort of story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something that's happened to them over the course of their life that was uplifting or inspiring for them, or something like that. So, Danny, you have a story to tell us?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little, I don't know if anybody else has had the trouble with this one because there's got to be so many, but it's
Well, I
one
hope
on the
it's not
spot.
like you're traveling through Egypt and with drugs in your drugs in your bag again or something like
Oh gosh. No.
that. You see, I
But that's
remember
one
your stories.
I don't even remember that. I am neither confirming nor denying.
Wait, you don't remember telling me that story? You don't remember that happening?
I'm not confirming, so I don't remember telling you that story. No, so something that occurs. So I several years ago, in about 2014, I want to say, I had been making documentaries, for several years, and all my documentaries were very dark and depressing. And one was about wrongful conviction, one was about terrorism, one was about harmful chemicals in our products. And I was just kind of sick of doing dark and depressing things, and I was kind of on a hunt to do something a little more life affirming. I just kind of put it in my mind, that's what I wanted to look for. And then I was on a call for work, and I was with a bunch of like middle-aged men. It was like four different men, and they were all talking about this little kid called Bat Kid in San Francisco. And this kid, this was now a couple of years, I think it was 2016. So I had been on the hunt,
Well,
nothing had come forward.
the movie came out in 2015. So
Oh, 15. Okay, no, so this was 2014. Sorry. Yeah. So these guys were talking about it. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? It was just strange. None of these people had children. They were talking about this little kid. And they said, oh, you hadn't heard? It was like this crazy viral thing that happened yesterday where this kid, he was a make-a-wish kid. He had cancer, and his only wish was to become Batman. And the entire, it kind of went viral before it happened, where the make-a-wish was going to turn San Francisco into Gotham City. For this kid, and let him go around and do capers like Batman. And thousands of people, flew in, showed up, and I was like, oh, that's amazing. What an amazing story that would be. Somebody, whoever's making that film, is so lucky. So then the next day, a friend of mine calls up, and she says, what are you doing? And I, she was a journalist. And I said, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, I'm trying to get an interview with the Bat Kid. So this is day two of me hearing about Bat Kid. I had missed the entire event. I wasn't on social media or news that day, so I missed it. And I said, oh, well, if you get a hold of them, see if they're doing a documentary. And if they're not, see if they want us to make it, or want me to make it. So she calls me back 5 minutes later. She said, they won't let me interview Bat Kid, but they'll talk to us tomorrow at 9 a.m. about a documentary. So I was like, whoa, okay. So we go into Make-A-Wish Foundation at 9 a.m. the next day, and we totally hit it off with the CEO. And I said, you're not making a documentary yet? And she said, no, we had a lot of inquiries, but nobody, we were too busy to deal with it. And now that it's over, we can deal with it. But we have several people who are interested. We like your credentials, but could you get it done in 9 months? I want it, I basically want it ready for the year anniversary. And I said, sure, we could do that, even though I had never made a movie in less than 3 years, and this would be like 9 months away. And so they said yes. We ended up making it, and it was the most uplifting story I had ever heard of, like, all these people just kind of coming together to make one little boy's wish come true. And in doing so, they got their life became totally, uplifted. And then in making the movie, my life became totally uplifted, just being around these people all the time who just wanted to have that childlike magic for a little while, or one day, or a few hours. And that film, which it's now currently on HBO Max, it became a really awesome project in my career, and also I think put my career path on a different trajectory. And now most everything I do has this kind of uplifting feeling about it. And it's just a great place to live, in terms of a storytelling. So that was just that one conversation with those guys on the phone sparked all that. So that's
Wow.
my
Wow.
long-winded story.
Right. Anyone who's interested, the name of that movie is the documentary is Bat Kid Begins, The Wish Heard Around the World from 2015. I've seen it. I actually really enjoy it. And if you go to my website, you can see a review of it.
Ooh, I'll look for it.
Well, anything I've seen of yours, Dana, I have reviews of. There's a
I
bunch
didn't
of stuff.
know that.
I have a review of Witch Hunt. I have a review of Pick of the Litter. I have a review of
Oh.
Dear Santa.
You'll like that we were watching Pick of the Litter the other day because my son Charlie is now raising a guide dog puppy. And I even though I know a lot about it, obviously I was like, oh, let's just familiarize ourselves. This dog is so cute. Her name's Rivy. We hope she's a guide dog soon.
Oh, wow. Very cool. All right. So, Dana, would you like for one final time this season to tell people where they can find you?
Sure. DanaNachman.com, DanaNachman.com. Or you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, or it's not Twitter, X and Facebook under my name.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can rate, review, and subscribe any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Mover Up Minute. You can find me on my website, moverupminute.com. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So, Dana, thank you very much for joining me for the last 5 days. This has been quite educational for me and a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. It's been very fun.
Excellent. All right. So I will be back tomorrow with a new guest, but until then, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.